This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. As the Iranian crisis brewed, the media charged into action, seeking expertise from public figures we can trust for sobriety and perspective.
Joining us now for a reaction are Fox News contributors Carl Rove and Ari Fleischer.
Former Senator for Connecticut Joe Lieberman joins the show today.
Judith Miller, Pulitzer Prize winning author, journalist, and Fox News contributor.
Former U.S. Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz on all of that.
Oh yeah, baby. The whole crowd that stoked the Iraq invasion furnace in 2003 are back. So many familiar faces.
Now, former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper.
Also, CNN's National Security Analyst, James Clapper. In 2003, it was Clapper who claimed Saddam had smuggled WMD components out of Iraq to hide them from the West. So the question is, why seek insight from the coalition of the wildly wrong, which is not the only category of sketchy sourcing on display this week? The other concerns undisclosed conflicts of interest. As investigative journalist Lee Fong recently reported in The Intercept, in booking ex-military to opine about the situation on the ground, the media glossed over or entirely omitted the pundits' earnings from defense contractors. Lee, welcome to OTM.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Who's showing up to speak in favor of what may or may not be a war with Iran?
Some folks like former Army General Jack Keane.
Fox News strategic analyst. General, the president's obviously taking a hard line here. You approve?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I take it at face value what he is saying, that this was a preemptive defensive measure to disrupt a subsequent attack on American troops.
Keane has appeared over and over again, almost on a nightly basis on Fox News. He's also appeared on NPR. Jack Keane has a financial stake in the debate. He's a board member of several defense contractors. He's been a longtime consultant to the defense contracting industry, a prime example of the revolving door. The Boston Globe had a great story years ago showing that he had been contracted with AM General, which makes Humvees, to lobby legislators on a plan to not refurbish old Humvees for operations, but instead just to buy new Humvees from his client. But only his former military titles are mentioned when he goes on the media. There are many other examples. Van Hipp, the chairman of a defense contracting lobbying firm, American Defense International, had a column in Fox News just the other day.
You're a military kind of guy. I was intrigued at that elephant walk with all those F-35As lined up and taken off fully armed. That's sending a clear message to the Iranians, isn't it?
Well, it's sending a big-time message. And also, look what he's done. The President Trump has done the last few days to pre-position assets in case he has to use them. But, you know, don't forget, this is a president who has shown great restraint.
Stephen Hadley, a former NSC, National Security Council official for President Bush, who's also a board member of Raytheon, which produces sensors for the Predator drones used in the strike last week. It's paid something like $300,000 in cash and stock every year for working with Raytheon, had an op-ed in the Washington Post. All across the media, we see these former military officials who also have a military contracting tie, whether that's a board position, working as a lobbyist, working as a consultant, and those ties are never disclosed.
Now, on one level, these bookings make perfect sense. The circumstances do demand expertise, or at least experience, provided that the experts can be depended on to be disinterested observers. but as employees or consultants to or lobbyists for defense contractors or board members, war means money.
And defense stocks are benefiting. We saw big gains from Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin on Friday.
But this is helping out defense contractors, Raytheon in particular, well, really all of them. But as investors and traders think...
I don't think we generally view issues of war and peace as a corporate reporting issue, but it very much is in America. These are major corporations with a stake in the debate. President Trump has won over $130 billion in increased Pentagon spending. And it's not a secret that rising military tension in the region, particularly with Iran, is very much a part of the strategy for asking for these increased military budgets. Many of these companies, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, if you look at their investor filings and their quarterly reports, they've said just in the last few months, in fact, that rising tensions with Iran will help them when they go to Congress to ask for higher military spending. The Cohen Group, which is a specialized investment bank that serves the defense contracting industry, they sent a note to investors almost within 24 hours of the strike on Soleimani, saying that this strike could boost defense spending not only for the traditional Pentagon budget, but for the Overseas Contingency Fund. That's a special fund that provides finances to wartime theater spending. So while there's a lot of talk about lives lost, about, you know, all the dangers that could come from escalation, for a small but significant sector, they see a financial opportunity.
You believe that to some degree they get these gigs because they can shape policy that could be beneficial to the contractors?
I mean, we can look at stories over the last decade or so that show examples of this. You know, Huntington Ingalls, a major shipbuilder, there's a great story in the New York Times a few years ago showing that they were hoping to encourage Congress to spend money to buy new aircraft carriers that are produced by Huntington Ingalls. And so they went to former military officials. They had them work with think tanks. They produced reports. They went to the media claiming that China's new aircraft carriers would threaten U.S. naval dominance and that the only way to counter this was to spend money on these $11 billion aircraft carriers built by Huntington Ingalls. And part of this lobbying strategy was using former military officers who had been retained to talk to the media and talk to legislators. There's a long history of major defense contractors working with former military officials, not for their technical expertise per se, but for their political influence, for their influence in the media, because for any major government contractor, public opinion matters because public opinion shapes what are politicians looking towards when they ask for more money.
Natalie, some of this is a structural problem, is it not? The defense industry is the elephant's graveyard for military careers. The vast majority simply shift from the military side of the military-industrial complex to the industry itself. So if you're a news organization and you are seeking experienced hands to lend expertise and context, where else to turn?
As a journalist, I don't think there should be an outright ban on anyone speaking or being used as an expert. If someone has a financial stake in the outcomes of a debate, readers or viewers should know that. If you're in a trial and an expert witness is called, there's a disclosure there. I don't see why these media appearances should be any different.
And I would further propose that perhaps there should be at least one direct question in interview along the lines of your company stands to gain from war. How do we know you're not playing for the House, General?
Sure. I mean, we don't see these former generals appearing in the media and saying we need less defense spending, especially those involved in the defense contracting industry. And I don't think that's a coincidence.
The last general to say that, I think, was Dwight D. Eisenhower as he was leaving office in 1959.
Yeah, and that was an era in the U.S. when we had much less of the revolving door. It was a big scandal. If you look at the Washington Post or the Washington Star back in the 50s, they covered it as a real controversy when any major politician or general went to work for a major corporation. Now it doesn't raise an eyebrow because it's so common, but there's no reason it shouldn't be reported as such.
One last thing, Lee. You've been here before. In 2016, you did a piece for The Intercept disclosing similar connections to the pundits opining on TV and elsewhere about the presidential election. without disclosing their ties to various super PACs and other highly interested parties. And that story had an effect.
Yeah, that's right. We reported on a number of major pundits who appeared on the networks who were introduced as Democratic strategists or Republican strategists to give their independent analysis of the race. But without disclosure, they were being paid either as consultants for the super PACs or directly by the campaigns. That story did very well in social media. There were a lot of calls on CNN and other networks to do better with disclosure. And within a week of us running that story, the same pundits who had appeared in some cases dozens of times promoting their candidate without disclosure were suddenly being disclosed by producers, by hosts. So it's not hard to do.
So hell, I mean, this problem is as good as solved. Everything's going to change within a day or two, I guess.
Potentially. Here's hope.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Bob, thank you for having me.
Lei Fang is an investigative reporter for The Intercept.